We're here at Metal at Edge Hill Station with the artist Alan Al and Jenny Porter of Metal. New exhibition.
The launch exhibition.
Right, yeah, the launch exhibition for the new art centre. Maybe we start by talking about the exhibition, which is called XXX Get Off at Edge Hill. So maybe that probably needs a bit of explaining to start off with.
Well, we've done other exhibitions, as you know, at Metal Space on the other platforms, which have sort of explored some of the more scientific ideas that are kind of site-specific to this space. And when we were asked to put the opening exhibition for 3 and 4 renovations, we had a number of ideas, but the one that we, as a team, we all felt suited the first exhibition was something that was more inscribed by perhaps what the local community or the Liverpool, the native Liverpool people had a relationship with more. So obviously get off is a local slang word, and we wanted to explore that. It's a slang word that's associated with the station, and so we wanted to explore how Liverpudlians had inscribed the station already.
I think what we realised was that the station is such a significant historical site, and that actually, because it's got its own Scouse innuendo, because the local people have named a particular activity after the space, we realised that signified its significance. And what we wanted to do is explore this innuendo within the context of art and the history of modernism, because artists like Marcel Duchamp did a very similar thing to what the local Scouse people did about the station. They witnessed this new industrial revolution taking place, and they made jokes and innuendos about the body and sex. Because get off at Edge Hill is a phrase that refers to coitus interruptus. And what Marcel Duchamp did was make a piece called it's called The Large Glass, or some people call it The Bride Stripped Bare by Her Bachelor's Even, which is a vertical glass painting of a machine that's split between the male and the female. And what Duchamp is describing here is the process of desire, and he's making a machine out of that process.
Is that the records here?
No, the large glass is in a few of the works. Obviously, in order to get the large glass, the original one doesn't actually leave Philadelphia, which is where a number of his works are housed. There is a copy that Richard Hamilton made, but I mean that would have taken up our entire exhibition budget just to even
and the rest.
Well, just to get it here. So we have there are a number of works that incorporate the large glass. For example, Hannah Wilkes's video performance from the 70s, where she does a striptease in the Philadelphia Museum behind the large glass. And then there's also Man Ray's photograph of the large glass as it was in the process of being made, collecting dust in the studio. And there's also a cut-up piece that uses the large glass as a photo montage. And the large glass, we've always, I mean, it's been a favourite piece of work for us for a long time. We've thought about it a lot. And we've always been fascinated by Duchamp's notes on the large glass as well, a copy of which was given to all the Liverpool-based artists that we asked to show in the put work into the show. I mean, luckily enough, when we approached the Liverpool-based artists, they all sort of were quite keen to make some new work for the exhibition, which was just brilliant, you know, in terms of their own practice and obviously an exhibition with you know, 5 new Liverpool-based works in it. And they were all given the notes from the large glass as well, just as not necessarily that they even had to read them, but just that this is what we were thinking about as curators. So it played quite a big important part, really.
And one of the keynotes that Duchamp made has been enlarged into a gargantuan scale within the space itself on the main staircase structure, which is one of the main architectural interventions that has taken place in the renovation of the buildings. So when you walk into the engine room at Edge Hill now, you see this new giant aluminium steel staircase, aluminium, it'll bend.
Just picture a hole in it.
It does look like aluminium, though.
Yeah. But anyway, so there's this giant steel staircase that the architects have installed, and upon that staircase, we've installed Duchamp's note for the large glass, which describes some elements that we thought were fascinating in this site. Like, for example, it starts with the word steam engine, which of course is the place where the first steam engine left the building. And then it says, on a masonry substructure, on this brick base, a solid foundation, the bachelor machine. And out of that almost poem-like text, this exhibition blossomed.
For us, yeah.
So how many artists are involved in total?
God, I've actually got I go through, so there's a video work by George Albert Smith, who's an early silent filmmaker. Our cells had some work in it. And then there's the painter Richard Meegan, who's a Liverpool-based artist, a good, brilliant painter. And then there's Jodie Mellor, who's a young Liverpool-based artist. There's Crystal De Beers, who's a New York-based artist. There's Man Ray, who was obviously New York-based. There's Hannah Wilkes, who was from America. She's no longer alive. There's Kenneth Anger, who again he's an LA-based artist. Johnny Ferrell, and then there's Jenny Porter, who's a Liverpool-based artist. Imogen Stidworthy, who's another Liverpool-based artist. Are you keeping count of these, by the way? Because I'm mentioning them. And then there's Toby Clarkson, who's London-based. Nicky McCubbing, who's Liverpool-based. Hayley Goodsell, who's Northern-based. And Sebastian Buechner, who's London-based. So that's 4, 5, 6, 7.
I think it's about 17.
Yeah, something like that, I don't know.
And a few of them were in the Liverpool Art Prize.
Yeah, no, and funnily enough, because we'd already made this decision by then with the metal team that we were going to do the show Get Off at Edge Hill, and Nicky's work and Richard's work both contained a lot of sexuality in them, we felt. And so they just seemed perfect to come into the show, and we loved both of their work. You know, Nicky's a great sculptress and Richard's a brilliant painter. So it's been a real, it's been a real privilege actually to work with all the artists. There's some great artists in the city, and Imogen Stidworthy as well, who obviously won the Liverpool Arts Prize the year before. And, she does some brilliant work with text, with language and with sound. Originally, we wanted another piece of Imogen's that she had actually in the Liverpool Arts Prize. That explored the sort of dialect of Liverpool, but she's made another work as well, which is brilliant.
That was Get Here, wasn't it?
Yes. That's right. Yeah, and we saw that actually in a show in Belgium that she'd done.
So within the context of the exhibition, I was telling you about this Duchamp note, which gave birth to some of the more poetical and modern ideas within the exhibition. And what we've done with Imogen Stidworthy's piece is it's actually hidden behind this staircase structure, because one of the things that Imogen has done is explored the secret language of backslang in Liverpool.
Right.
So when you come to the exhibition, you'll see that this particular piece is a hidden piece, because this is the kind of language that is used in to hide information and to pass secret information between two people.
You might actually miss the artwork because it is hidden behind the staircase.
But that's the idea that if you do discover it, then you enter into this private Liverpool space. That the Get Off at Edge Hill itself is a private joke amongst Liverpoolians about.
Which I never knew before.
Ah, okay.
although I grew up not far from here. It doesn't ring any bells with me.
Well, funny enough, we haven't made it up, because every taxi journey that we've actually got to the station, there's been, I can't think of one taxi driver that's not made a joke about it, can you?
No, funnily enough, we had, there was a lady that came the other day that was talking about it. She'd not been back to Liverpool for 20 years or something.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, but she was saying this, she said the same thing. She went, I remember getting a taxi here, and she basically said the same story, which was quite strange as well.
It's in the Viz dictionary as well.
It's in the Viz dictionary. There you go.
I never knew that. There you go. There you go.
No, that's not in my library. But another thing I was fascinated by is the catalogue.
The exhibition guide.
The exhibition guide, yeah. They're all listed. But I was trying to find the statements about the artwork.
But you
printed the email correspondence you had with the artist.
Some
are quite lengthy, some are quite... I think it's one you don't even get any response.
Well,
it's an interesting way of presenting.
Well, we Metal as an organisation really isn't a gallery. Yeah. Metal is not a gallery. Metal is a space for artists of all disciplines to work through ideas, to follow hunches that they may have, and that may end with nothing, that may end with no final product, or it may end in an exhibition or a performance. And in a way, one of the things that Jude Kelly, who set Metal up, one of the things that she's fascinated in is conversations between people and sharing information between people. And what we wanted to do was, rather than print a blurb, undoubtedly written by the artists themselves, we wanted to get back down to earth a little bit more, and just reveal the conversations that we were having. Because obviously, when any exhibition that's made, whether it's a solo exhibition, a group exhibition, whether it's curated by an artist or a curator, or there's always these conversations that go into what the exhibition looks like, and these conversations are never shared with the audience that go around the exhibitions. So what you finally see is this very post-determined text on something. Yeah. And we wanted to go right back to the origin of it and just go, these are the conversations we were having. And we didn't know at first that we were going to do that. It was actually after we sent the first email to all the artists, before, these are so rich, actually, that all our conversations, they always, you know, why not just print these? Obviously, it's only with the Liverpool-based artists. And so we said to the artist, look, we're going to print these conversations. Is that okay with you? Obviously, Richard didn't reply. There was no response, which actually is like, he started sending us text messages. But
that's a typical Richard statement.
And that's great. Because obviously, like, you know, some painters, they like painting, they don't like talking about what they're doing. And I mean, we did have conversations with him that were here or that were at the studios, but, you know, they weren't recorded. So we just wanted to basically print what was already printed. And what was already in the email.
And ultimately, we're really glad that you've brought this up about the exhibition guide, because in a sense what we wanted to do was give people access to these very privileged conversations that are fascinating, and they really show something about each of the artists and their different approaches to how they make work.
Yeah.
And there is no clear definition, there is no clear narrative about how you should make work and how you should talk about work. And that what we've tried to do is create a document in which that's completely open, and that people can think about that for each individual artist. So it becomes another artwork, it becomes another exhibition as part of the exhibition, that it's another way of accessing the work. For example, Imogen, as we've talked about, is an artist that uses language, so actually reading the way in which she uses language in order to make a work with language,
which goes over several pages.
And for some people, like we were saying, language is more important than for other people, and obviously an exhibition guide is based on language. And so for Richard, he doesn't want to talk about his paintings. That's amazing, that's great, let's not talk about it. Whereas Imogen, she has quite a lot to say. So rather than, and sometimes an artist who may, for example, just paint a canvas blue, like Eve Klein did, he has a lot to say about that, but you don't see those words on the wall, and you shouldn't do. But it would be amazing to see those words in an exhibition guide as you're looking at that blue canvas. And the same with Imogen's work, that, you know, or Jodie's work, that it just adds more. It adds just more texture to the works, we feel, and that they're very honest and they're quite vulnerable. I think some of them, you know, I think some of the conversations lay out that vulnerability of the artist,
yeah.
where you are literally opening yourself. You're opening the image of yourself, but also the sound of yourself to other people to try and connect with and kind of explain the world. So yeah, I think it does that.
Yeah, sort of start off not quite sure what they're going to do and so on, and gradually it becomes more firm and confident about what's going to happen.
So, yeah. And but it also with the artworks as well. I mean, you know, you can read through the email conversations and you can see an artwork developing actually, you know, between a conversation with people. And I think that's a great thing for young artists to actually look at and to realise that, you know, that all artworks, it doesn't matter whether you've been like doing it for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 50 years, it's always a process that you go through. And I think that those conversations are I hope anyway, are inspiring to young artists that may read it and go and sort of think, oh, I can do this. It's just a question of revealing myself.
Yeah. And I think that's very much part of, you know, we're here in a place that, you know, entire estates are being knocked down, and this gives the young people of the area an opportunity to access conversations that they may not hear in the pub.
Yeah.
And you know, because we're in a key site of regeneration, this catalogue is accessible to all people. It's using the language that people use with one another on emails. It's not using high philosophical language, even though there is very dense conversations in there and maybe some difficult subjects, but ultimately everyone can read the document.
Yeah, it's just a talk, right? It's just talking between. I think it reveals as well, because I think sometimes, particularly one of the things that we've been confronted by as we've been in Liverpool is a local community or people who maybe are intimidated by art and feel that it's beyond them, it's not for them. And we hope like that we think it's a great idea, this, because we think it brings it down to earth. We think that it reveals that artists are just human beings like everybody else, you know, and that they just talk like everybody else.
Yeah, I think we might see more catalogues of this format in future.
I think it probably will be.
Yeah. Set a trend. So I just want to ask Jenny about the actual space, because you've been here nearly since the start, I think. So you must be delighted with the way it's going now.
Yeah, well, I suppose for the past 2 years, I mean, Metal had already looked around the spaces, but I suppose for the past year, you know, seeing it actually physically start to transform has been really exciting.
And you've got, it looks like we've had a look around, obviously it's a great space, and there's not just the gallery space, there's other tenants here as well.
Yeah, that's right. In the office we've got Culture Pool and 20 Stories High. I've got desks up there, and we've also got a space for Emma Lawrence, who's the Mersey Travel's new public art officer. So that's great, and it'll be, you know, connecting up Mersey Travel's ideas about sort of art on the network and things like that to different artists that are coming through the spaces and things. So. Yeah.
And Al was saying about involving the local community. Have you seen that actually happen? More people come in and that you might not expect normally when a gallery and, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think people like who definitely were getting off the train on this side of the platform are just sort of like poking the head in and sort of, you know, asking what things are about. And, you know, it's an ideal place. You're either on your way somewhere and you've got 5 minutes to spare, or, you know, you've just arrived and, you know, people are just sort of making their way in and sort of interested in what we're doing, because I think people do know that it's the first ever passenger station, but just to open it up and for people to see inside, you know, they are beautiful buildings, and you know, there should be a lot of pride in the area that they're here.
Yeah, and isn't there some sort of collection of archive material to? Do you want people to bring stuff in?
That's right, yeah. Next year we'll be launching an archive project, that does sort of honour how important the station is to the local people and beyond. Really want to sort of paint a picture of what the station, the different sort of stages the station's gone through over the years and the different characters that have worked here as well. So we're developing like an oral archive, so people who remember either members of their family who worked here or themselves, we'd like to get interview them to hear their stories. And also if people do have photographs, we can take a sort of digital scan of that, and it'll be a digital archive that will be online as well as permanently on display in the welcoming space of the buildings.
It is a very welcoming space with the kitchen and
the Argo,
the Argo cooker and make a cup of tea if anyone comes in.
A cup of tea on the,
Not as we get busier though.
No.
Not a British Rail crisis.
No, definitely not.
Okay, so what's next for everyone here?
We've got an event tonight, which is the Live A World Awards ceremony, and that's a local guy who took a group of lads over to Gambia, the local Kensington football team over to Gambia, and he's sort of showing the film of that on the screen in space. We've got some more film screenings coming up, and in December we're going to be doing like a Christmas Day, so that's on the 13th. Victorian Christmas.
I do need to keep reminding myself that it's not just the exhibition, there's loads of other things going on here, the films and so on.
Yeah.
I have to keep checking the website, which is very
good.
Nice new website, metalculture.com.
Yeah. That's right, yeah.
Yeah. And Alan, what are you going to do next then?
We
have a break now, you've got this.
No, we're straight into, we've just started working on, we're working with Philip Glass. Who's a composer from New York, and we're going to be making a film with him and Brian Green, who's he's a physicist that has specialised in string theory and supersymmetry, and we're making a film that's going to be a space opera that's going to premiere in New York next summer, and then it's going to travel to London and then Turin. So we're working on that at the moment. That's what we've just started working on that. So that's what we're working on as outside of this metal space. And then the metal space, it is a cross-discipline space, and there are obviously a lot of other exhibition ideas that we have, but it would be great actually for this room, for the engine room, to have a performance in it next, or to explore other mediums and other types of discipline as well. So in terms of the next exhibition at the station, the great thing about this space as well is that it doesn't need to have this kind of year program all planned out that's just completely that's completely as it is. So it's great that it can mutate and transform quite quickly. So in terms of the space, we're not quite sure yet.
No.
Thanks for downloading from DefNet Media.